government, and our task today is to deliberate on vote 14, the schedule of the Western Cape Second Amendment Appropriation Bill. Sorry, I didn't mute my telephone. I do apologize, members. Can I start again? Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Friday the 27th, and the Standing Committee on Local Government in the Western Cape Provincial Parliament. Our primary task today is to deliberate on vote 14 and to consider and adopt a report in relation to the vote and our deliberation thereof. I welcome you all present here this afternoon, and I welcome the Minister and the HUD and all the officials. Furthermore, I welcome our members, and may I call on the members to introduce themselves for record purposes. I'm Derek America, the chairperson of this committee.
Rodriguez Vanessa, member of the committee.
Thank you. Could we have the other members please introduce themselves?
Pete Marant, alternate member.
Thank you, Honourable Marant. And we have Honourable Maseko, probably struggling with the mute button.
No, Chair, Matodi Maseko, member of the committee.
Thank you. I have received a formal apology from Member Makamba Boita. Is there any other member on the platform today? If not, may I remind members that we are on the MS Teams platform and the rules as per adopted by this provincial parliament will apply with regard to our engagement. And for time purposes, I will not go through all those rules. Unfortunately, we do not have translation services available on the platform, so I would request members to engage this meeting in English for that purpose. And secondly, our meeting is scheduled for an hour, so we will try to be as concise as possible, and I will not expect, you know, all the introductions of all the officials to be done in this particular meeting. The deliberations will be led by the HUD, and when a particular official is called upon to make an input, then the official will be introduced. So from my side, welcome to the Minister, welcome to the HUD and all the officials present. And I will, without further ado, I will give the Minister an opportunity to make an opening remark that will set the tone for our deliberations. Minister Bradal, it's over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity. The COVID pandemic is not yet over, and currently we've got some problems within the Garden Route as well as in Khayelitsha area. But if you look all over the province, we need to, as and I want to call on the committee to support us in combating the COVID pandemic and to motivate people to wear their mask and to sanitize properly. The COVID pandemic has a big influence on of impact on our economy. We see low times, all times low growth of the economy. And that will obviously impact also on our municipal income stream, so they will feel the pinch a bit later. In most of our Western Cape municipalities, tourism and the hospitality-related industry are the economic drivers, and these industries are busy taking hammer blows from the fight against this pandemic. So we foresee that this reality will really, early next year, the municipalities will face this reality on their income streams, and we will need to see how we can support them and can help them. Now, Honourable Chair, we also see now continued budget cuts over the last couple of years, and this constrained our proper development and increase on service delivery. We're very worried about that. We all know that to improve service delivery, you must invest in bulk infrastructure. If the infrastructure is not there, it's very difficult to provide the services. Now, this vote was adjusted earlier this year to 346,445,000 rand. With the second adjustment bill, we see a further budget cut of 49.1 million rand, to vote 14, and this will bring the total to 297,200,000 rand. The head of the department, Mr. Graham Paulser, and his officials are here to provide further clarity on the numbers and the shift within. So, Honourable Chair, I want to end off by saying our best wishes and prayers remain with those who have lost loved ones and those who continue to be affected by this virus. And I want to use this moment to implore our public and our officials to work with us over this coming festive season, especially on this weekend when we see the Black Friday sales, where a large number of big crowds will gather in small places to work with us and our officials. We need all hands on approach to clamp down on this pandemic. So with that, I thank the Standing Committee and I hand over to my HOD. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. May I use this opportunity on behalf of the committee to extend our congratulations to Mr. Paulser for his award as being nominated as one of the best HODs in the country. We know that the modest person that he is, he will not claim a personal victory and ascribe the achievement only to himself, but to the capable team that is behind him. And for that reason, we also want to extend our heartfelt congratulations to all the management and the employees within the department. Mr. Paulser, I'd like also to thank you for making a presentation available that you're going to present to us. It summarizes all the movements and changes within the budget. That presentation had been distributed to the members. And on that note, I'll hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you for the well wishes in terms of the award. As you rightly indicated, I was only the recipient, and I received the award on behalf of each and every staff member in this organisation. And it's the similar acknowledgement to each and every staff member in the organisation that have contributed to the entire department being awarded on two occasions for the best functioning department I think it's countrywide that the department has achieved the third prize in terms of that. Chairperson, just to latch on to the Minister, I think the budget cuts are significant for this department. It's one of the smallest department with the smallest budget. You will see in the second adjustment budget, we are down by from 346 to 297. It equates to about 9 million, and it's both COE and non-COE. So those are the cuts. Over the MTIF, the indicative figures over the next 3 years is severe cuts are going to follow and continue, both in terms of COE and non-COE. And we are very apprehensive that the significant impact on our ability to support and assist municipalities going forward around the work that we need to do in municipalities. Chairperson, what we've done is we've done a summation of the blue book, and it's contained in that in a couple of pages. And with your acquiescence, what we can do, we can take the committee through through this document. It entails all the changes, the movements, the environments, and the SIPs. And then based on at the completion of that, we can deal with anything in the blue book if you are comfortable with that proposal, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Paul. So it's in order with me. We can proceed.
Okay. Chairperson, I'm going to ask between Bogner and Ori that they just take us through the document, if you so wish. Bogner?
Good afternoon, Chairperson members. So if we look at the document for Bill 14 at the Department of Local Government on 26, which is page 373, it shows between...
Just a moment, we can't hear you clearly. You intermittently are breaking up. But is it possible if you can cite the presentation, perhaps? Members could follow.
HD, do you have a presentation? I don't have a presentation. I've just got the Vote 14 document.
Chairperson?
Yes, Johan, can you cite it?
I'll bring it up to the screen quickly and then we... Oh, there it is.
Thank you, Johan.
Continue, Barbara.
Okay, no problem. So the Vote 14 adjusted estimate, we started with the baseline of 346 million after the first adjustment. It goes on to show the vote, the shifts between the various votes, and this is related to the earmarked allocation of the hotspot coordination. In total, it's actually 27 million. You'll see that the 10.5 is related to the surrendering back to the Provincial Revenue Fund, as the Department of Human Settlements has asked for this money back next year. So 5 million went to the Department of Health for the hotspot strategy, and that's for the facilitation of sourcing PPE through a bulk contract for community for the community. The Department of Agriculture at 10.2 million and the Department of Public Works for bicycles related to 1.5 million. We'll go a little further down into the realignment of the money surrendered to the Provincial Revenue Fund. It amounts to 32 million. The department surrendered to the Provincial Revenue Fund in program one, the administration program. It's the reduction in the COE. And that's 4.5 million. Chair, I just want to say in total, the COEs include vacancies that were either delayed or decided not to continue, and the cost of living adjustment that the Provincial Treasury has asked that we remove from the baselines completely. So the COE, while looks inflated, it's actually two amounts that are in there. The next amount is 2 million related to the JDMA. This money we surrendered to the Provincial Revenue Fund, and we've asked for them to defer the amount into the new financial year so we can continue to make the appointments. These appointments were not concluded because the organizational design process has not been completed. The next one relates to Program 2, Chair. And the COE on that is the 6.7 million. And then the 1.7 is related to capacity, which is earmarked for the forensic investigation unit. And for the 1.7, again, we've asked for this money to be deferred into the new financial year so we can ask for additional capacity to be made available for that unit in the new year. And then lastly, in program three, which is development and planning, it's 17.3 million rand, and that is the COE of 5.7. The reallocation over the new into, we've asked again for the 1.7 that's below the COE to be deferred into the new financial year, This is related to the audiovisual equipment at the Disaster Management Center. The bid actually closed at a less amount than we had anticipated and budgeted for. And we then subsequently, because it's earmarked, we had asked if it can be deferred over the MTF period for the maintenance contract related to the video wall. And this is the last one is the hotspot strategy where the money was surrendered to the Provincial Revenue Fund for the Department of Human Settlements. And that's the, for the coordination of the hotspot strategy. That's the 10.25. If we move into the economic classifications, which is the next table, compensation in total is 17.2 million, and it's broken up into the 16.7, which is the reduction in the COLA as well as the delays in recruitment, the reduction in the COE related to the recruitment on the FIU capacity, and then shifts and transfers from COE into goods and services for the leave gratuity payout, which is comes out from the COE as well. On goods and services, it's 33 million that we've reduced the baseline by, and bulk of that money is 27 million if you look at the reasons on the side. The 27 million is related to the hotspot strategy, and we've already spoken about 20 is related to Panelant municipality, then it's related to FIU, related to the JDMA, the hotspot coordination between the various departments of 27 million, the 1.7 for the audiovisual, the Breda Valley maintenance of the sort vehicle, and the 1.4 million that needs to be moved into machinery and equipment for IT related refresh that happened. Then on the transfers and subsidies, we've reduced that by 258,000, and it relates when you add and subtract, that's the eventual amount. But the 620 is related to the municipal interventions for the Carnelant administrator. Then the Breda Valley, which moved from goods and services into transfers, and the 126,000 that needed to be moved from COE into transfers and subsidies. The last table below this, the last part of the table, is related to capital assets, and that's the 1.4 for various equipment and IT refresh, renewal of data cards that we required in order for business to continue in an unusual manner. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Silal Singh. Mr. Paul, is there anything else you'd like to add to the presentation?
Chairperson, not at this stage. That is a summary of it. So you will see as the COO has indicated. So we've in the first adjustment got 27 million for the hotspot coordination, and based on a due diligence process within the province amongst the provincial departments, we have allocated that funding to various departments based on priorities initiatives. And so in the second adjustment budget, through a Section 33 notice or arrangement, we allocated that funding to the Department of Agriculture, Department of Transport and Public Works, as well as the Department of Human Settlements. But obviously, Human Settlements has asked that that money be deferred and given back to them in the next financial year. And then the balance of it, as the CFO has indicated, the 16.7 million is around the cost of levy. And obviously the provincial treasury has asked that money be removed from the budget. And obviously that was instruction from the national treasury. So there's a court case that's underway, and the risk is if government loses that court case, somehow we need to find that money to pay the cost of living adjustments to the staff members, for which we don't have the money, as the provincial treasurer asked us to remove it from the budgets. And it's also removed in the next 3 years. Over the next 3 years, those amounts have also been reduced. at the COE thresholds. In other words, the amount allocated for COE has been significantly reduced, which implies that over time we also have to reduce the headcount within the department. Obviously, there's currently an employee-initiated retrenchment package, but I'm not sure whether there will be an employee-initiated retrenchment package being offered. But I think the big challenge that we do have is the continuous cuts on the COE of the department. It would allow us not to do the work that we're supposed to do, Chairperson. So that's fundamentally the two areas where the cuts have been managed at the second adjustment budget, but also you see over the MDF that both COE and non-COE that there's further significant cuts to the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Paulson. Colleagues, I now formally table vote 14 from page 373 to 381, and its annexures from page 382 to 386 for your engagement and deliberation. I recognize Honorable Maseko.
Thank you very much, Chair, and again, thanks for the department for the presentation. And I think we need to acknowledge the role that they played throughout from the start of the COVID-19 with the info of the hotspots, so that the reaction from our communities can be towards their safety. So we need to salute them for that, because they championed that. Chair, just one quick question. With the money that of the hotspot that I think the HOD also talked about it to us, to give it to the human settlements, and it's been deferred. As we see now that the we are going back, it seems like we are going to have to face another peak of the corona. What is remaining with the budget cut? Is it going to be enough to sensitize our communities again? And I'm talking more from my constituency side, making an example that the end of December is the season for the plums, pears, January, and February it will be the apples, and that's where we get the influx in Deerwaterkloof. So if we don't have enough for the to make sure that those hotspots, the info or the communication is within our communities, it might put us in a negative of info being transferred to the communities. Is the department having enough with what is remaining after the defeat, or after they've allocated the money to the other departments? I think that's all. With everything, I'm covered, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Seku. I recognize Honorable Van der Westhuizen and then Honorable Marande after. Van der Westhuizen?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson, and I want to thank the department. I must say, I find it really interesting that on a budget where we had to cut back so much, that there are still some wonderful initiatives contained in there. And if wearing my cap as the Chairperson of Standing Committee on Agriculture, the transfer for the vegetable gardens to the Department of Agriculture is welcome. And I want to thank this department for that. Also, the initiative in terms of the rollout of bicycles, I think it's a very interesting experiment, and I just do hope that they've got good locks with each and every bicycle that they are going to acquire. Public transport or transport and public works is going to acquire. And you will ask why on a 300 million budget, I'm now going to concentrate on 600,000, but there's quite a few references to the support of the administrator in Kannaland. Now, we do know that there's been a change in the political landscape in Kannaland recently. And my question is just,
what is going to be the position of the administrator? Will we have to provide for the remainder of this financial year for the cost in this regard? Or is there a possibility that this arrangement will come to an early termination? And then lastly, Chair, I think we must say to one another, also from our observations recently in Kanalam, that many of our poorer municipalities, unfortunately, we give them support for capital expenditure, but unfortunately, it seems to me that maintenance and is an elected item, and I do hope that in the future we would be able to also find a solution for the challenges of some of our poorer local authorities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Van der Westhuizen. Honourable Moran, over to you.
Thanks, Chair. I'm not sure whether the Honourable Van der Westhuizen suggests that the MEC must target Kanaland also now because of a new coalition. I hope it's not the case. Chair, just one long question, Chair. We know at national took a decision that at this level that there should be cuts in terms of COEs, and correctly stated by the HOD, there is a court case, I think it's on the 2nd of December. Workers have taken government to court because of a three-year deal or agreement that's in place about increases to salaries, that if the court rules in favor of workers, that some way, somehow, we will have to find these monies, Chair. But, Chair, the part of the COEs that's been surrendered to the Provincial Revenue Fund also includes posts that's not been filled. And it seems there was an instruction, if I understand it correctly, by Provincial Treasury that those funds should also be surrendered to the Provincial Revenue Fund. And we would like to understand, Chair, the reasons why we cannot blame consistently COVID-19 for all these things. Why was there a delay, Chair, in dealing with those posts? You see, Chair, the issue of COEs, and it's the first time since I became a member of the Provincial Parliament that there's such an instruction by National that there should be cuts because of an obvious COVID. But last year before, when COVID was not there, say, and if you look, for instance, at the Provincial Safety Plan and the police force that the Premier wants to establish, and the fund of, and I think it was around 1 billion rand, those funds come from the different departments, and the majority of those funds were COEs, Chair, although there was no COVID, although there was no instruction from National Treasury to say we have to cut back because there won't be increments. It was not there, but still, there was these cutbacks that we have surrendered to the Provincial Revenue Fund. So I just want to one issue to like to understand when it comes to the filling of vacancies or new posts that was being budgeted for, why we haven't dealt with it, and what is the reason for those funds to be surrendered to the Provincial Revenue Fund? Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Moran. Any other questions members you'd like to ask? If not, I'm going to hand over to Mr. Paulson, and he will direct members of his team to respond to the questions that were posed. Mr. Paulson, it's over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. So let me start with the last question. You can see the significant amount of 16 million is as a result of the as a result of the amount being of the Provincial Treasury asking that the funding must be given back to them, and that's in relation to the cost of living adjustments. So that's a given. And then the only two additional areas where there were delays, and I'll explain now the delays around it, is first around the what is this called, the organizational design in relation to the JDMA, and that's at 2 million. So that has been, that has, is earmarked funding. We've actually negotiated with Treasury upfront to say, give us a 2 million. We actually want to increase capacity in dealing with what we call this district model in the province, and we've rolled it out significantly in the province. But in given the fact that it's new post, we've gone through a lengthy process of writing up the job descriptions, of understanding the department under of the premier, understanding what lives in it. And so that process must go through a job evaluation process still before the post can be advertised. And just given the long consultation processes with the department of the premiers, especially the OD part of it, we decided that given the past trends of finalizing the job descriptions and the job evaluation, that it will be prudent actually to surrender that 2 million to the provincial treasury and ask that they actually allocate it in the new financial year. So that was the first reason for delays. And the second one is just around the forensic investigation unit. That is also EMF funding that the provincial treasury has given us. And there has been about at least two recruitment and selection processes. Just last week, there was another one where we gone through a process of interviews to see to what extent we can get the skill and the competency to deal with what we call these forensic investigations into municipalities and so on. And given the fact that some of the posts is not permanent, I think there's a struggle to actually to attract people for a year contract and so on. So that's a difficulty with that. As I say, we've gone now through a recruitment and selection process. And if we're successful, hopefully we can pull the post from the 1st of April. Just in relation to, Chairperson, just in relation to Canola, obviously we are now working together with the provincial treasury on it. We've always worked with them. The provincial treasury has asked the national treasury to develop what they call a plan in terms of their finances, a financial recovery plan. So we've now worked together with the municipality, with the provincial treasury, and this service is available with the national treasury. The documentation are now in draft. And so given the developments and the discussions between ourselves, the municipality, and the national and provincial treasury, there is a view that the intervention into Canaland continue. There's currently paperwork being done in the form of the submission to take that to cabinet, and to extend the appointment of the administrator in Canola for a further 6 months, and to help and to implement the revised financial recovery plan that's now being developed by the National Treasury, just to put their finances on a meaningful path. I hear what the honourable member is saying about the maintenance. Maintenance is I think is the first place we have municipalities cut when they do not have balanced budgets, and it's a prescribed threshold, obviously, for maintenance. But the budgets are not balancing. They and we are putting lots of money between ourselves and the provincial treasury into Canola, not only for the governance, but also for particularly the water augmentation initiatives. We suspect that the Karoo area, both the Pen Karoo and the Central Karoo, most probably have some during the summer seasons around. So we are close to a 10 million rand to Canola, and that is subject to further discussions around between ourselves and the provincial treasury. Yes, so Honourable Chairperson, we've given the money for the food gardens, also to help with the sustenance, but also to secure that people have a kind of a job or a job opportunity at least, even if it's just for 6 months, that it actually are. And the bicycles were fundamentally for to assist in the process of delivering medicines and tablets and so on from clinics and hospitals to people's homes, so that you don't have an influx into clinics and medicines and day hospitals where citizens actually collect and fetch their medicines. And that also prevent, hopefully help the social distancing and the spread of COVID-19 or mitigate the COVID-19. So we haven't, I think, Chairperson, in our understanding, I think we would, if we would call upon the provincial treasury for additional funding, they would consider, particularly in the state of disasters. And I think we have made adequate representation in our PGMD1 engagement with the provincial treasury around further disasters within the province. I mean, this province is disaster prone, and in our view and our discussions with the provincial treasury, there is a certain amount set aside just for further possible disasters in the province. And obviously the COVID-19 is still considered as a declared disaster and is now being extended on a month-to-month basis. So I am comfortable, or I think we are comfortable as a department, that that in the event that we should acquire additional funding and that appropriately motivated, that we could allocate that additional funding for that. But this funding, Chairperson, was in response to COVID-19 and to help with the transmission of COVID-19. The 500 went to health, was also to procure masks and have those masks distributed to community members, normal citizens, those who couldn't afford the mask, in particular the hotspot areas where there was a resurgence COVID-19 in certain parts and districts of the province. I'm not sure, Chairperson, I'm not sure, Colin, Bavna, and Ida, if you want to add to it. Okay, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Poulsen. Honorable Moran, can you lay your hand, please? Colleagues, are there any additional questions you'd like to ask? Any follow-ups?
No, Chair, we are covered.
In the absence of any further questions, may I thank Mr. Poulsen and his team for...
Chair.
Honorable Moran, I see you've raised a hand.
Yes, Chair, you told me that.
You may ask your question quickly.
Yes, just a follow-up question. Just on the issue of color and chair, the HOD have now said that the... I'm proceeding. Can
yes,
you hear me?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Is that the period for the administrator has now been... extended for another 6 months. Can we accept, Chair, because out of our last discussion that we had with the oversight visit, it was set for the period is 6 months and it can be then extended for another 6 months. That there will be there's another extension of 6 months for the ones for the section 139 to be in place. Can we accept that? That's the one. Second one, Chair, is that the response in terms of my one question about the COEs, and then also part of that the post that's not been filled, some of those monies, and we understand that it's a request from the province, from Treasury, that those funds be surrendered, and then the explanation why the delays, and one of the reasons they saying that there was a delay to finalize the job descriptions of some of the posts. Now, Chair, I can't understand that when you ask money for posts, whether it's vacancies or new posts and to be budgeted for, I then thought, say, that all those things will be in place. But we understand now there was a delay to finalize some of the job descriptions of certain posts, and therefore there was a decision, look, it will take too long, therefore let the others surrender. as per request of the National Accreditor. I'm not sure how this thing works. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Moran. Mr. Paulson, would you like to respond to that question, please?
Chairperson, yes. I've indicated that the paperwork is being done. Although the extension has not been approved, there's a cabinet submission on its way, and cabinet will resolve whether to extend or not to extend the Section 139 into Cunnamulla Municipality. So I say paperwork is on its way, and there has not been a final decision, but in anticipation for that, you see in particular that amount. Just in terms of the filling and delays of the post and drafting of the job descriptions, Chairperson and members, honorable members, you will know that this department and many other departments do not have our own human resource section or department, if I call it that. We're reliant on the CSC and the Department of the Premier, and they service more than one department. And we also go stand in a queue and ask them to draft and to finalize the job description. So it's new posts, and the colleagues responsible for organizational design have to understand what the job entails and what the outcomes and the outputs of the job should be, and what the level of qualifications and competencies, skills are required. And the consultation process has been extensive. We have given extensive input during the finalization of the job descriptions, and obviously is now subject to a job evaluation. But we're dependent on the capacity and the speed, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, of the Department of the Premier, particularly the CSC and the Department of the Premier.
Thank you very much, Mr. Paulson. My colleagues, thank you. That concludes the questions based on the adjustments. May I use this opportunity to thank Mr. Paulson and his team for the hard work, and we know there's a lot going to effecting the sort of changes in the budget and its implementation. So from our side, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and know it's going to be a tough year ahead to make every cent count in the delivery of services. On that note, colleagues, may I ask the Minister if you wish to make a concluding remark? Mr. Bradal?
Just to thank the HOD and the staff for taking us through a very difficult period, also for the Standing Committee for your oversight role. Thank you very much. Highly appreciate it.
Thank you, Minister. Mr. Paulson, you have any final concluding remark you'd like to make?
None from my side, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, colleagues. That concludes that part of the meeting. The officials, the Minister and Mr. Paulson, if you wish to exit the meeting, you're welcome to do so. The members will stay behind to consider whether we support or not support the vote. Thank you so much. You may exit the meeting if you so wish. Thank you, colleagues.
Your Honourable Chairperson, members.
You're welcome, all the best. Honourable Moran, is there anything yet you would like to say?
I just wanted to say to Mr. Paul, it seems there is some sabotage from the Premier's office not to finalise the issue of the job description. It looks like sabotage.
Okay.
We don't blame you.
Presumptuous. Welcome, Honourable Smith. So happy to have you on the platform in the meeting. Colleagues, there we go. The adjustments have been put on the table, the vote from pages 373 to 381 in that sort of adjustment book that was provided to all of us. And lectures from 382 to 386. And it was summarized and presented to us, and we engage in it. Do we support the vote or don't we support the vote? Can I have an indication? I recognize Honorable Ms. Lodi Maseko.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I propose that we support the vote as presented to us.
Thank you, Honourable Mr. There is a proposal that we support the vote. Is there a seconder for that proposal?
I will second. Thank you, Chair. Van der Westhuizen.
Thank you. There's a proposal, a seconder from Honourable Van der Westhuizen that we support the vote. I recognize Honourable Smith. Honourable Smith?
Yes, Chair. No, I've been part of the meeting since 3 minutes past three.
Thank you.
Just to put that on record. I was a bit late and apologies for that.
No problem.
Chair, can we have the preview of Rule 90 at the ANC for our minority view to be recorded as not supporting this vote? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Smith. Mr. Yuan Kutsi, can you effect that sort of notification that... in terms of Rule 90, that ANC does not support the vote? And if you have completed that, can you put on the report there that we need to adopt as a committee? Can you enlarge it a little, please?
Chair?
Yes, Honourable Baran, I recognize you.
As the ANC also, Chair, we want to say upfront that we don't have a problem to support the report.
No problem. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, colleagues, let me read the report into the record. The report of the Standing Committee on Local Government on Vote 14, Local Government, in the schedule to the Western Cape Second Adjustment Appropriation Bill, B7-2020, dated the 27th of November 2020, as follows. The Standing Committee on Local Government, having deliberated on the subject of the Vote 14, Local Government, in the schedule to the Western Cape Second Adjustment Appropriation Bill, B7-2020, referred to the committee in accordance with Standing Rule 188, reports that it supports the vote. In accordance with Standing Rule 90, the African National Congress expressed its minority view that it does not support the vote. Could I have a proposal that we adopt this report? I see Honourable Smith, I recognize you. Honourable Smith, is that the old name?
That's the old name, Chair. Sorry, I
recognize Honourable Maseku.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I propose that we adopt the report as it stands in front of us.
Thank you, Honourable Smith, I recognize you. Honourable Smith, old end.
Here's my old end. I'm trying to lower it. Thank you.
Okay, Honourable Van der Westhuizen, I've heard you saying that you second the proposal that we adopt the committee report.
Indeed.
Thank you so much. Colleagues, that brings us to the end of the main purpose of our particular meeting. The last item on the agenda is any resolutions. Resolutions. Are there any resolutions that you members would like to propose? In the absence thereof, may I thank...
No, Chair.
Thank you. In the absence thereof, may I thank our procedural officer for Mr. Young. Could see for all the hard work that he's put into putting all these things together. So thank the senior procedural officer for assisting or being there for guidance, Mr. Johan Vermeulen, our technical assistants, Mrs. Siraj Assam, and Ms. Juana Badingozi. Thank you, colleagues. May you have a wonderful weekend. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.